too many times has it ever happened that it's the watching show. In fact, no, the listening show. 68 times as of right now, it's happened.
All right, legit question. Now I have to interrupt. How many times is too many times? Hey, it's episode 1603. It's been 20 years. Like, what number would you hit and look at that and go, it's just too much? Off the top of my head, seeing the number 10,000, like 10,000?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's arbitrary, but like, what number would you like look at and go, no, no.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. 10,000 weeks, I think, is longer than anybody has ever lived.
And if that's the case, my
assertion
is correct.
Yeah.
It's just too many.
It's too many. It's not possible to do. I actually didn't, and I'm not saying anything in regards to it being too many with 60. I didn't think about what I was going to start with. So I just said, okay, pick my favorite number and then go from there. And I didn't even pick my favorite one. I just picked a number, which was 2.
But it is still more than your favorite number.
It's part of my favorite number. My favorite number is, 42.
Correct.
I know. And your favorite number is 23. And I think
also correct.
So here's what I think is funny about that, is there's a movie called The Number 23.
Uh-huh.
And the spoof of that movie is called The Number 42.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's funny that your number is 23 and mine's 42.
Yeah.
I'm like a spoof of you.
Well, I mean, what's the number 23, but number 42 before that is referenced as the meaning of life. The number 42 is less of a spoof of 23 than it is.
42
is more original.
No, there is a movie that is spoofing the movie, the number 23, called The Number 42, and it's like any other spoof of a movie, but there's also a movie, and you're talking about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yeah, where the joke is that 42 is the meaning of life. Yes.
Yeah. But that's apparently a well-known thing.
Yeah.
Most often if 42 is used in some kind of movie or game from then on, it's in reference, or like as a background thing, it's usually in reference to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I've seen it a few times and watched behind the scenes or something. Oh, yeah. Because of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. All right, cool.
Uh-huh.
We could talk about whatever you want, but not as long as you want. Because we have to go watch memes on screen in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We're going
to
watch Spider-Man, one of the home names. Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home. That's what it is, right? So
Spider-Man, No Way, it's home.
No Way. No Way, No Way.
No Way, it's home.
We're totally expecting to see literally memes being made on screen.
Let's make predictions and see how right we are. Okay.
You said some before, but go ahead.
My first prediction, and this is the one you're referring to, is I'm predicting that they're going to recreate the Spider-Man from the comics meme where the three Spider-Mans are looking at each other and pointing. Like imposter, like that meme.
I think
they're going to recreate that exactly with Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland. And if they don't do it, I want my money back. That's my first prediction.
And I'm setting fire to the theater.
Yes.
But I'm going to lock the doors first to cause maximum
crowdage. So that there will be literally a maximum fire.
I'm going to lock the doors and burn the place down, but I'm going to lock the doors for maximum inconvenience.
Oh yeah.
For everybody else. It'd be really inconvenient to be locked in a burning building.
You'd literally be shouting fire in a crowded theater.
No. I would burn down the theater is what I was saying.
I know. I'm just making a joke about fire in a crowded theater. You've heard that that's like illegal or whatever.
I just yell, you're all fired. And they'd get their feelings hurt. They'd be confused. And they'd be annoyed because I talked over the movie.
Uh-huh.
I think originally that iconic meme of whatever comic it's from, I think it's actually two that point to each other. And then it's been edited to have a version where there are three. But I think it's originally two.
Oh, really?
I think so. But either way, the three one's common enough, and there's three Spider-Man do it. Anyway, I hope that prediction is right. I don't think that they will, because it's too good. But it's also like, if they did it, I wouldn't be surprised, right? It's kind of 50-50. I'm just guessing not. I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a prediction, but I have hopes. I have specific things I want to see. One is, as a format, I want them introduced one after the other, so you have a theater experience for each one instead of bombing us both at the same time.
Yeah,
and I want the reveal for Toby to be something like, you hear him off camera first with a meme line. So Doc Ock says something like, "I need that tritium, Peter." And then you hear, "I missed a part where that's my problem." And then the camera turns around and then he punches the rig right into the camera, and then it cuts to Doc Ock as he falls away because he hits Doc Ock. I don't want stupid stuff like that. And then, And then after that, Andrew comes in. But we're both convinced that both the Spider-Man, all three are going to be in the movie, although it's been denied and it's not confirmed. But we both, I expected 100%. Then that's not counting the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
If it's in the post-credit, I'll be disappointed. Like, that's not. But anyway, I want to say I'm 100%, but I'll say this. If they're not in the movie, I'll feel like I just ate something gross. Like, I'm very disappointed and like sad and ruined.
It depends on what happens, but I would kind of feel that way too.
I want them in for a long time.
Jamie Foxx is in it and the guy who plays Doc Ock, and it appears as though Defoe is in it too.
Oh no, Willem Defoe is confirmed to be in it Alfred Molina. And I believe
Jamie Foxx is in it.
Yeah, but I believe the two others with him. I believe the original actor for Sandman is in it.
Oh, yeah, the guy who was in George of the Jungle.
I know Sandman is it, but I think the original actor is too.
Uh-huh.
Venom, dude, he could be, but I don't think he is.
Yeah, I would doubt that.
Don't need it. But, man.
Although it would be interesting to have Tom Hardy just in a quick cameo, like,
yeah, sure,
getting his groceries or something.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I've not seen that movie, the Venom movie, so I don't know what would be a good cameo for Venom, but...
This was another hope, not as important as the other two Spider-Men, but you've seen the Into the Spider-Verse, maybe you didn't.
I did.
I think after Tobey's made his reveal, and then Garfield, and this, they're like showing in for the final battle, but then right before the final battle, then Spider-Verse Spider-Man show, we got a live action Miles Morales, we got a Gwen Stacy, he's like, oh, wow, it's getting crazy.
Do you think so?
No, I don't think so, I hope so.
You hope that there's a live action Miles Morales?
Just, it's not in the movie for very long, like 10 minutes maybe for the final fight.
Okay.
It's basically Avengers Endgame when the other Avengers show up, when there's no way that the heroes of the current situation can win. And after we've already had our reveals and our together time with the three, they've had their time to shine. It's like Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. They've had their time to shine.
Yeah.
But now it's time to give everybody at the last minute to go, yeah, that'd be cool, but I'd be happy. I'll be happy if Toby and Garfield show up just for a bit in the movie. I'm done. I'm fine. Like, that's all I want to see.
I know.
And I would yell. People, I will scream if I hear a meme said by Toby.
I know.
I'm going to put some dirt dry. Ah! Just yell. I would yell. I don't even care. Ah! Just incoherent yelling.
I know.
And ones I wouldn't expect would make me happy here off camera.
Brent?
It's a
Yeah.
Anyway.
So stupid.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's not talk about the movie because we haven't seen it unless you got more predictions.
Alfred Molina comes on screen, you just hear rubber band.
Butterfingers.
Butterfingers.
Yeah. Any before we move on, any other predictions you want to get credit for?
No. I think we've talked about this long enough.
Yeah,
but the good thing. Oh, shoot. I forgot what I was going to say. It just was like there. The good thing is that if freaking Tobey Maguire is in this movie, doesn't matter if he's there for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
whatever it is gonna be heavily memed.
It's gonna be gold.
Heavily memed.
Yep,
like the most memed, because I think that of any superhero movie, I've never seen more memes than in Spider-Man movies.
That's a good point.
Like Batman has a couple memes, but Spider-Man
has. Mm-mm. As live action comic book adaptations, yes, Tobey Maguire is number one.
I think that of all superheroes, the most memed is Spider-Man, and it's not close.
You mean across all kinds of media?
All kinds of media.
So cartoons.
Internet memes. No superhero that's ever been written on, you know, DC, Marvel, name it, ever has had more memes created about, you know,
If it's not
Spider-Man,
if it's not that, I would guess Batman, but then you have contenders way down tying like Deadpool and Joker, but
I don't think it's close. I've seen so many Spider-Man memes. They're everywhere. It's like a whole subculture of Spider-Man memes.
Oh, what's your guess? We're going to see one guy, because it's not opening night. Technically, it was last night. What's your guess? We're going to see one guy in a Spider-Man, full Spider-Man costume.
Yeah.
There's a good chance we're going to see one in a full, like a cheap, but a full Spider-Man costume. And then several wearing like a hat or a shirt.
They're always wearing a hat.
There's going to be one. I haven't been to an opening in a long, not since Avengers Endgame and Infinity War. Those are good times. Anyway.
I think the last opening, like literal opening of a movie that I maybe the only one I've ever been to. I don't actually remember. It's definitely the first one I went to was Superman Returns. Yeah. The one where there's the slow motion bullet hitting the eye.
Yeah, I know which one that is. I haven't.
Superman Returns. Apparently that guy is like my dad's cousin's friend. That Superman. He was like, he didn't do terrible for, it was not a great script.
So if he's Superman, that makes you the son looking. Of dad's cousin's friend man.
Yeah, right.
That's me. And his little symbol for SCMD, like whatever that is.
Yeah, and it means hope. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the fluffy Superman, as people call him, because he wasn't very chiseled, but he was strong, you know. But yeah, he's apparently like from Iowa or something, and that's where my family's from or something. I don't know. I can't verify any of that. I just heard at some point from one of my cousins, oh yeah, that's such and such's friend. It's like, oh, cool.
But not actually related. So that's very possible that he's your cousin something's friend. That's pretty tenuous. If it was an actual familial tie, it should be met with more scrutiny. And like, I should verify that this person is related to me, but it's not. So.
It's not so absurd. I believe it based on what I heard. I could have told you exactly what I heard at the time, and it was convincing. I was like, "Oh, that would make sense. It adds up that they would know each other."
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since Superman Returns came out, and I learned that they were friends when it was being made. So it was like I was probably like 10.
I have asked myself this. I feel like I would have asked you this. Who is the most famous person you've ever met in real life? Even if it's in proximity, I'm going to go ahead and disqualify having to have made eye contact or speaking. Huh. So that's, I guess that means seen. Okay. Met. So you spoke to, eye contact is the minimum. Who's the most famous person you've made eye contact with? I got to think about that because there's a few.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I always, in my head, I default to the one time I saw the weatherman for our news channel at Walmart late at night. I was like, that's a weatherman.
I worked with, very recently worked with a woman who was married to the weatherman.
The weatherman?
A weatherman.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, he was for Channel 4 or something. I don't remember which channel.
Well, that's interesting because the guy was from Channel 4. He is tall, kind of balding, dark hair and glasses and pretty thin.
There's a different guy now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because that was over 10 years ago. I don't think he's there anymore. But I was like,
I don't remember what channel it's for. But I know what he looks like. And I obviously know what she works like because I work with her. And everybody gossips about her because she like always wore like frumpy clothes. Like she's always wearing a hoodie. Like a hoodie and like jeans. And kind of like tennis, like I don't know, like a lot of people there wouldn't get away with wearing stuff like that, like
you
a
mean
hoodie.
At that job,
yeah,
yeah.
But then everyone else like would gossip about her because of that, and because her husband never wasn't wearing a suit; he always was dressed for the weather, like telling people the weather, not for whatever the weather is that day.
Yeah, yeah.
He always looked like he was about to get in front of a green screen.
He's dressed for meteorology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For the weather.
That's what I said.
Yeah, anyway, I just remember people like when I was listening to them like gossiping about, and she always wears bad clothes. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you care what she wears? I don't. But then I saw a picture of the husband and I saw him in real life, and she literally was wearing like a hoodie and jeans while he's wearing a suit.
It makes
and they're
me
just
happy.
Married, and it's like, oh, that's just who they are.
Like, I like it.
Anyway, it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Anyway, to answer my own question, I don't really have an answer. That's good enough.
What's your question?
Oh, the question of who's the most famous person you've ever met.
Oh,
that shirt is so damn 90s. I love it.
Yeah, always fresh Coke. On the back it says Coca-Cola.
Oh,
Thank you,
brother. Is it actually, it must be a 90s shirt. Is it from your dad or something?
No.
It doesn't look quite old enough, but it looks...
Well, you might not believe this, but it's one of my most recently purchased shirts.
Where the balls did you purchase it?
I believe it was TJ Maxx.
Did you buy it used? Isn't that what TJ Maxx is?
I don't know what TJ Maxx is.
I think TJ Maxx is a secondhand store.
I'll tell you what, though. Yeah, okay.
I love it. I've had this fantasy, and if I come into money, I'll probably start doing this for a long time. I want to just make up graphic tees and just wear them. And they're because I like the way graphic tees look, but also because that way I could do a bunch of satire and spoofs and I can make a whole bunch of random stuff. Uh-huh. If any weird image that comes to my mind, I'm not a graphic designer, but if I could do it or pay someone to make the design, I'd just make these little shirts every once in a while. Then if one turned out to be like exceptional and people really want it, then I could sell a bunch, but they're just for me. They're mm-hmm. just jokes that I wear basically. Like that just looks cool. I'm a sucker for 90s.
Thank you. I agree. That's why I got it. I have an idea, a marketing idea that I've had for a long time, and I've been pocketing it for the right moment, and the moment is now. So my idea was to take the most famous logos in the world and change one thing, like one small thing.
I want
to
do that,
but
too.
That's like to where if people are passively looking, they think, oh, like for instance, Coca-Cola. It's a red shirt with the squiggly lines. Yep. But the only thing I changed is I exchanged one of the L's yep. with a P. Coca-Copa. Yep. You know, like, and people look at it and like
what?
Wait, your sister's Coca-Copa.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you just change one thing that only people are like, what? It's like, I just a second glance. It's like, oh, it's different.
That fantasy is so close to one of my specific fantasies, and I have to kind of lay it out to explain it. So the T side is one half of a bigger fantasy that I have. And that fantasy is to, what's the word? Vandalize in a charitable way. So this is the quickest example I can think of. I want to change things, signs in real life with satire or little changes that nobody would notice.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this is a bad example, but like a stop sign, an actual physical metal stop sign. What I would do is I would create and fabricate a brand new one. It looks as legit as possible. And I'd change whatever I want to change. Like maybe it says don't on it, but it looks like a stop sign. What I would do is I'd put that on top of the original stop sign, but I don't take the stop sign. I just add to it. And it's not ruining this. You can just take it off. Mm-hmm. I'm gifting this.
Yeah.
So someday you go to a stop sign. Don't.
Yeah.
And that would last for a while till one day, hey, there's something that's not supposed to, and it gets taken away and I'll never see my fruits. I'll just leave it there and smile leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's a bad example. I want to change tiny little things that, like, oh, this is a good example. This probably has been done, but the, I know this was like a joke, a meme, so it's not quite my idea, but the hand warmers in bathrooms, there's a little illustration. You know, you push the metal button, brrr, that's a hand warmer. There's a little illustration of three red squiggly lines. Have you seen?
And yeah.
Two bacon. Hands pressed press to receive button, bacon.
Yeah.
So I could make up my own legit looking and stick it on top of that one, and it would last for maybe forever. Maybe you get taken down. Tons of stuff like that. I want to vandalize off the store. It's technically illegal.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, you could do that. But I would also like to do that on some of my shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That is the legal version of what I really want to do, which is cause a little bit of anarchy.
Yeah.
So anyway, there, that's my whole story.
So here's my suggestion with the stop signs. It still says stop, but you get tiny, tiny little stickers with cutouts of the word it. And then you just put behind all the stop, very small. Stop, so it says stop it. But you do it through a whole town. Like you get, you dedicate a day and you put tiny little it stickers at the end of stop, so it's every sign. It'd be like they all say stop it.
Yeah, sure. Stop. Stupid little stuff like that,
or don't stop, you know, like if you wanted to, I wouldn't want to change the meaning of the stop sign,
right? Just for right. I'm not gonna cause actual harm.
Yeah,
like the word, the stop sign's an actual, what do you call that, ordinance? It's a law.
Yeah.
So are you, I'm not going to change that says it.
No.
I thought about, yeah. So as no. an example, no. You're funny, right? Until, you know. Yeah. You fantasy. Can't. No one would know. Well, but now there's a chance that I've said it technically publicly on the show that if it ever did happen, we'll go, I know of a guy who mentioned specifically doing that. It could be him. It's in his town. Like, there's a good chance.
Shouldn't.
Oughtn't. Oughtn't. I know. It says oughtn't of with two apostrophes or something. What?
Oughtn't of. oh my gosh. Oughtn't of.
Cease mobility.
Well, that's good stuff.
Yeah, the stop sign's a bad example. I want to do like sticker or paper things that are much simpler to. You say like I want to take a picture of what picture is really there, like with my phone. Mm-hmm. Take it home, put it in the computer, and then have it one measurement off of it. Like, here's what an inch looks like. So I hold up something and take a picture. Go home, and I literally recreate it as best as I can with my small alteration. Mm-hmm. And then I go back, and it should fit exactly, and it looks the same, but it's technically new. Anyway,
that's great.
A real project, and you got to do all that sneakily.
Mm-hmm. So I only learned about this because I had a roommate who had a very different YouTube taste than me. This is not you. This is when I lived with Nathan.
So it's Nathan Tube, not YouTube.
Basically, it was but basically there are whole YouTube channels and brands where what they do for their video is they go into a thrift store and they get cool shirts that are just dirty cheap. And then they just are like retro shirts. Basically, they go to a thrift store and then they just look. And then they look for sweet, like just cool shirts that are just
that
gems.
They like or yeah. like are objectively valuable because they were a fancy brand back in the day.
Maybe both. Okay. Maybe both. But only they are like clothes people. So they know what's valuable.
Okay. Maybe it is both then.
So it's both to some degree. But then a lot of it is just like, hey, this is a really crappy quality shirt, but it's so cool looking. I can make this look cool. Mm-hmm. And then everybody, they like will resell this stuff for so much money online. And people are like, yeah, that's what I want to buy. Because, you know, through the last 30 years, so many people have created these graphic tees and they're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been so many different color generations where color palettes would, you know, they'd last for a little bit, but then they'd stop that particular color palette. So there's so much variety that's out there, but most of it's either been thrown away or it's hidden in these thrift stores. And these guys take the time to create content going and looking for these shirts, and they have a ton of views. It's like, but here's the crazy thing is I don't care about clothes. I don't care about shopping. And yet when he'd be watching those videos, I'd just be, wow. You're like watching right along with him. And there's something to it. Like
it's very kind of like, watching people open loot boxes or scratching tickets. There's a,
yeah.
Or you opening, can celebrate. Uh-huh. The rewards, however small, that's a whole genre on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Of people literally
TikTok
gambling or whatever. And
yeah,
I mean, I get it.
Scratch offs. They're just people on TikTok that just do lottery scratch offs. And then I've been watching one almost every night this week, and it's a guy who opens sports trading cards. And what I found is that,
you were watching people open Pokemon Go cards, right? Is that what it was like sometimes. Months ago? And then you're like, I want to do that. And then you got into it for a while.
Yeah.
Because you had before the videos ever came up. That's why maybe your interest was there in the first place. But you had something like that before.
And it scratches an itch for gambling in people too. And then it's kind of nice because you don't actually have to lose any money.
If I think all mammals or most mammals, I think there's a word, terms for things interest me. I don't know what the term is. There's got to be one. You know, mouse will hit a pellet, gets a treat. Pellet. Now we're going to take it away. So every other time, now we're going to take pellets away. So now it's random. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to remove it. So it's 1 in 100. Now, there's a number actually. I think it's 1 in 30 to where they will lose interest.
Uh-huh.
So they measure this, like what the reward has to be, and then they put. It's the same as paying employees. What's the smallest amount we can pay them to give them to show up?
Yeah,
but those things are interesting. That they're done. I wish I knew what the terms were called. But anyway,
it's the reward risk reward deal, or not risk reward, but it's effort reward ratio.
I've heard
that's technically what it is. There's a better word for it. Yeah,
that's what the terms are interesting.
Yeah,
like we might have ideas that aren't actually unique. They've probably been discussed or explored really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've been given a very succinct name, like, yes, this. Mm-hmm. And we're over here fumbling, trying to explain to people, and we could just go, this. Oh, here, it's been done for us. A lot of what we talk about is that. It's already been thought through and explained in a much better way But part of the fun is the fumble for us, I guess. Well,
that's one of the great perks about knowing nothing fully.
Yeah, now, that's what now we are. Learning is or trying is kind of fun.
You know what though? My uncle, I was talking to my uncle today. He's a pilot, and I was talking to him about recently I lost my job, so I was talking to him about job options and stuff, and he's a pilot, and he was like, "Hey, you should be a pilot." And then I was like, "What goes into that?" And he told me what goes into that, and I was like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't." But then, you know, the risk reward for that is like very much pays off later, because you can, yeah, you know, you make a million bucks a year.
Did you just go to meet him in person today?
He was at my family, and I was there too. And I just got to talking with him, and we were talking about it. But he said just kind of in passing, because I was talking about just people who have, you know, learned skills that they've taught themselves. And he goes, "I had this guy that I went to class with, and I'm going to butcher this because he knew better, but he goes, his name is such and such." And he told me his name, and he goes, "That guy, he ended up being the keyboardist for Michael Jackson. And then he became a pilot. And then like, while he was being a pilot, he would do like differential calculus on this laptop in the airports while he's waiting. And he was writing an algorithm for chess." And I was like, "That sounds like an interesting guy." Yeah, like,
he's like a badass.
I know, right? And but like, he was wired to where like he had to teach himself new things and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so like, it wasn't enough to be a superstar musician. He was like, "Well, now I'm going to learn how to fly planes," which is not like easy, you know? And then he wanted to learn calculus, and so he took it for fun. I don't know. I just is like, I wish I was a little bit more like that, first of all. But second of all, some people are, those people exist. They might be very rare, but those are the kinds of people who maybe they're not as well-rounded as us in our general knowledge of all things like pop culture and movies and, you know, they probably can't do a 50 stupid accents like we can. You know, we have skills that they don't have, but their skills are probably a little more, you know, interesting.
Well, we all have skills.
Right.
And a lot of our skill points between you and I are put into really stupid categories.
Yeah.
So we're talented at dumb things, for example, whereas some of the people are talented at things that are actually useful.
Yeah. We actually do. Like, you're very good. You're pretty darn good at video editing, and I'm pretty darn good at music. You know, there's things that we're like 80% in kind of skills.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I mean, I wouldn't say I'm really good, but I'm definitely better than average, and I'm very comfortable, and I am competent.
Yeah.
But based on the accolades for the work I've done, like, I've gotten very validation for it. Anyway, 80%. Yeah, I'd say it's about 75, 80.
Yeah.
I could get to 100. I believe I could. But
that means you're literally the best in the world at it. 100%?
Oh, I mean, I'm not the best in the world. I could know everything there is to know about it, is what I mean.
Oh, sure.
There could be a few people at 100%. It doesn't mean I'm the best in the world. It just means I'm one of the few who knows everything about it. Whatever. The last 20% of this are the hardest.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to, and I could, I believe, do it. But in part due to my laziness, I don't and won't, because 80 is sufficient. I'm going to take on something I haven't thought I'd ever do. I'm going to try to learn a new editing program. But I'm getting myself kind of excited for it.
On this computer?
No, it's going to be on the new computer. Although, actually, the same program here, it's Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
I use Mac, Final Cut Pro X. I've used that in iMovie for like, I was going to say 20 years. It's actually more than 20 years now between the two. But this is Adobe. Adobe will be on here, and my new computer will be PC.
Cool.
And I only learned in like 2 hours what I needed to know to edit the videos for the watching show and the listening show. But this program can do everything Final Cut can do, but it's just totally different. And I'm sure I can learn it. I just don't want to, because it's work. But now I've convinced myself it's going to be great. I'll have a nice new computer. This program will do it faster, and editing will be more fun once I put in the work to know how to do it. It's like playing a new game where at first it can suck because I don't know the controller. But if you can get over the learning curve, which is what I think it's called, then it can be rewarding. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like anything you learn. Being a pilot may not be a good example, but you got the work to do and the learning curve to get over before you can ever get the rewards.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay.
Okay.
I have, among other things, because of this topic kind of goes hand in hand with the skills learned deal, because of losing my job, I've had to like go and like look for other things. And I could obviously just stay in my lane and do the thing that I've been educated and have been working to do, which is in like the banking world. But now is a good chance as any to just pick up a new skill. So I've been, one of the things that he basically talked about is like, well, if you can.
Your uncle, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's a super hard worker. He always has been. And, you know, I'm not. So when he said stuff to me, it's just like, I would never do that. It's too much kind of thing. He talked about how he would work a job and he'd make, you know, $30,000 a year and he'd work really hard and he'd go to school full time. And, you know, on top of that, he'd get his degree and then he'd go to pilot school and then he'd buy a house making that $30,000 a year because he was really disciplined with money. Like he was that way. And, you know, maybe it's a different world now. I don't know that that's quite the same ratio this decade as it was the decade he was doing all that. But, you know, he's 48 now and he is well off now. And it's because he earned it kind of deal. Anyway, he was basically describing what it would take to do all that stuff. And I, you know, it would entail going back to school. And I was like, well, now would be the time to. I don't like the idea of this piece of paper defines what my value is in the workforce. But that is how it goes. And it does say something about discipline. I think if I had more discipline, I might have done school by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it through before. I might think it through again just for fun to see if my opinions have changed.
Well, I don't know if this is what he said or if what you surmised by what he said, but I share that sentiment completely because I'm experiencing something similar myself. The fact that you're out of your job or whatever isn't all bad. The greatest benefit is this is an opportunity to do new things. So you're saying you could stay in your lane of doing the same kind of job you've been doing and you'd probably be fine. But this is your best opportunity. I'm going to try something you like or something completely new. Mm. For me, it's my YouTube channel is as small as it's been in years. I say small, I guess it's based on views and stuff. But that I look at that and I'm thinking, this is my best opportunity to try the random shitposts, whatever crazy stuff I want to make. Cause like, who cares? I got nothing to lose now, kind of.
Sure.
So I'm excited. It's anyway, at least I haven't fallen into despair. It may work out poorly, but eh.
You want to know something though about
sure.
This is what he said because I was talking about. I basically was honest. I'm like, I'm just a little too lazy to do all that school for air, you know, flying and stuff like that. And he goes, "Let me tell you what my job is right now." And he goes, "I'm making. I don't know." He didn't say exactly what he's making, but I'm fairly confident it's like over $200,000, $300,000. It's like a lot of money. And I know he said my coworkers are making $1 million a year. So like you quickly rise once you get to that point. Yeah. But anyway, he goes, I work six to eight days a month. and he goes, I had a month where I got a $10,000 paycheck and I worked 6 days. And I was like, yeah, that's good. And he goes, and I've made $30,000 in a month. And he goes, I think in my biggest month, I've probably made $50,000 to $60,000. And anyway, when he describes like, I don't have to work much. I have to fly a plane sometimes and I get to go to freaking Mexico and I stay there for 30 hours and I get to chill out in Mexico and then I fly back. Anyway, he just describes like a cool job. Yeah. And I was like, boy, if there wasn't all that schooling and stuff, that'd be really cool. And money. And like, it's a lot of money to get your pilot's license.
You gotta invest a lot of time and money. Like a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's going back to the learning curve, whatever, investment. Mm-hmm. You don't get that reward without all the work that he put in.
Yeah.
So
I think he said you might end up spending, he goes, you know, for everything, you might end up spending $200,000 for all the schooling you need.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez. And he goes, jeez. But you think about that on the later end, you reach, if you're 26 now, you reach 50, you're going to make that in like half a year. And it's like, if you're willing to, you know, incur the debt right now and be disciplined with making payments and doing the work, then you're going to pay it off really easy one
but
day.
But two things in my situation, I would not trust my future self either. That much.
That's my thing. I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea to get in debt.
I don't make that deal with my future self. Because if he's anything like me, he's going to be like, yeah, or I could do nothing.
Yeah, right, right.
And then two, I would not be comfortable taking on that much debt.
So much debt.
Man, that's crazy.
He said just the pilot's license that you get is like $9,000. I believe. Now here's what's cool though, is he's like a 1/6 owner of a plane, and so he just can fly wherever he wants, whenever he wants, as long as nobody else is using the plane. So he just does that. He'll fly up to South Dakota and do a weekend fishing trip with his kids.
Or did you say what kind of plane it is?
Well, he showed me. I don't know what kind it is, but I don't know much about it.
Is it like 8 to 12 people? Is it a propeller?
I think it's probably maybe 6 people.
Okay.
It's probably 4 to 6.
And I guess it's a prop plane then.
I don't know what that means.
A propeller.
Because
you said he showed you a picture?
Yeah, he showed. I wasn't paying attention to see if it had a propeller. I was
listening
looking
to the money part.
Well, he was showing me the interior, the gadgetry and stuff. I didn't like, he showed me briefly the outside, but my first thought isn't where's the propeller? Does it have like, I just look, dude, what does it look like?
Do you know how amazing it'd be to own a freaking plane?
I know.
It's not the same as being a millionaire with a private jet in my mind. It's different.
Yeah.
You fly the plane is the main difference.
Yeah.
Regardless of how big or small it is.
Yeah.
Wow, what a freaking sense of freedom. Now I realize it's not as simple as owning a plane. Mm-hmm. Logistically and legally, it's probably very stressful.
Yeah.
You can't just go park your plane and fly. There's a lot of rules. But assuming you got all that learned or behind you, and wow. You know what? I'm just going to go to freaking Hawaii like tomorrow. And I'll just, because I can, have a nice cruise. Imagine being in a little single prop plane. I don't know if a plane could actually make that trip. That's probably a bad example. But a long sky trip, like a road trip, and you're eating chips while you're flying a plane. Imagine eating and flying a plane by yourself. That just sounds like the coolest thing. Having a drink and like spinning around.
I think I literally had this conversation with you when your like content on YouTube and your kind of your livelihood was based on vlogging and stuff and like driving vehicles. As your monetary like trajectory was going, I was like, you could probably afford flight school and then eventually buy your own plane and just go fly everywhere and do plane vlogs or what, you know, something stupid.
I believe that there is an alternate universe where I easily could have gotten there.
Yeah.
My issue with flying, I don't know what you think about flying. I'm curious to hear what you think based on, you know, talking to your uncle. There are, between you and me, I think there are a lot of things we could be very good at. My issue personally is I have to really care.
Yeah.
And there are very few things I really care about. Maybe I would be a good pilot. I think it's within my abilities, but if I don't really care or I'm passionate about it, I don't think it's worth that investment. So
he says it's as easy as driving. I think that
I think he's being a little generous.
I would say that too. Now I actually technically believe
him.
But
beside that.
But I think that you have to know way more things, obviously, than just like.
But beside that, okay, I like driving a lot. But at the same time, I'm not willing to get a job where I'm driving a truck 12 hours a day as a semi. Like that would make me resent driving. I'm certain of it. And I'm not willing to make that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad took flight school. Did you know that my dad did that?
No, yeah, but it doesn't surprise everything. Me. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know that, but it does not surprise me because like you just said, he's done everything.
Literally everything. So he's flown planes before and he flew them enough to know this is great, but I don't want to do this for my career kind of thing.
Yeah.
And thankfully that's what flight school is kind of for. It's like your chance to try it out. Like for my uncle, that was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And I really like it. And I'm good at it. Like, I want to do this. And and then from there, he did all the extra schooling and stuff it takes to get a job at FedEx FedEx is the best place to work as a pilot, basically, because they just, you know, they make a ton of money and it's really kosher because you don't have to fly people around.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had to do his time flying people around and doing those other jobs for like American Airlines or other places. I don't remember where he worked for, but anyway. You can, like, if you have a bunch of training and you're really good at flying, then eventually you can get a good job at, you know, like FedEx or something. Anyway.
To kind of contribute to flying, the only stories I know about, two guys. One guy was a fan of my YouTube channel, and I went to meet him, and then I shot a video, and he volunteered. It's at the executive airport. He volunteered to fly some for a video. I just had him fly a helicopter. We didn't use the camera in there, but I just had it in the background because it's fun. Mm-hmm. He also took me for a ride, and that was really fun. It's like Battlefield 3 and 4 with the 22 and you're in the passenger seat. It's just like the game. I love this. Anyway, so I don't. He went on to fly in Alaska, I believe, flying people, I think. Mm. So he's moved on with his career. He did this for a year or so. Wow. It's a school here. Or he took school here. And then the second guy was a fan who was a cop. And I don't know if he was in the military before the police. I don't think he was, but I heard from somebody, I can't remember how, that he went from being a cop here to the military. So I'm pretty sure he was in the military before, to learn how to fly, I think is what they said. And then presumably to continue doing flying the Black Hawk military helicopters. I was like, man,
jeez,
that's crazy. But
someone's got to do it. They get paid to do it.
I don't know if he had any background with aircraft or the military before. If he was just a cop and went, you know what I want to do, and then just went and did it. That's all the aircraft.
What time do we have to go to watch a movie?
It starts in 45 minutes.
Okay.
We could skip 15 minutes, but I would rather be earlier than late because it's an opening night. So
what we got, we talked for 40 minutes. We did it. We did a show.
You're done for all time?
Yeah.
Okay. I will allow that. Hey, this one was a random one, but it involves Spider-Man's planes, the learning curve, risk and reward, and some vandalism. And I missed one point, but we kind of went around.
We always do that. We're always going around.
Always doing that.
We cannot stop doing it. So, hey, thanks for joining us for this.
Yeah, we'll let you know next week if any of our predictions came true. Well, actually, we won't know. It would spoil things if we told our predictions came true.
You'll know if you've either watched it before you listen to this or if you've watched this after you watch the movie. And then if we're right, then that's
the important thing. The important